Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cub Chat Live. It is a super cool episode. We're talking about science. We have a maybe new to you guest. He is the commissioner for the Cub Scout Committee, actually. He is a self-proclaimed science nerd, and he is an Eagle Scout dad, longtime scouting volunteer. Thank you for joining the show, Nilesh.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
What are we talking about today? Something I'm not sure we've talked about.
So I think this is an opportunity for us to dig into some of the science adventures that we have now in the curriculum, if you will. And so over the next half hour, I hope to make them easy for you to use and fun for your scouts.
We were talking, you know, we've just met, and we were talking about, we're going to get to know each other over the next year because you're going to be, you know, roped into coming back on the show over and over and over. Aaron's in the comments. He says science nerds are the best people, right on topic to say, you know, you call yourself a science nerd. You talked about raising your Eagle Scout son. He's in a STEM career now. I think you said engineering. So you know a little bit about this, really.
Well, yep. Indeed. Yeah. Mine. And so is my daughter. And so is my wife. We're all scientists.
No way.
We are, indeed. And all of us doing or having done research at some point in time or the other. This is why I was so excited to see the STEM adventures on the new program, because, and it covers a lot of ground, of course, but it just gives kids such an opportunity to behave as a scientist from such an early age. And, you know, get them early is always how I feel about this.
Right. Make sure that they are aware of the careers they can pursue in STEM, and even just having the knowledge in whatever career they choose, whether it may not be in traditional STEM role. Some of the commenters here are super pumped for today's show. Rusty joined very early. Shout out to Pac84. Fred says a wet greeting from Three Fires Council. I'm going to guess that means it's rainy there, Fred. Let us know. Scottsdale, Pennsylvania is watching. Shout out to Pac-151. Of course, hello, Aaron, for watching. Hello, Pac-3310 in Akron, Ohio. And Rob did exactly what we wanted to. He says, Karen, this is right up your alley, so please tag somebody who you think may benefit from today's show, especially if you know somebody who is into science and technology, who is already a Cub Scout leader, a new Cub Scout leader, is considering becoming a Cub Scout leader. This might just push them over the edge. Today, we are talking about the STEM series, the science elective adventures across different ranks. Where should we start, Nilesh?
I think start at the very beginning, right? So the thing I want to make sure everybody's aware of is that adventures are available across all the ranks in all areas of STEM. Today, we're going to talk about the science stream, but and, you know, join me in a couple of weeks. I'm going to do engineering as well. And so depending on your interests and your expertise and your comfort level, you can bring such a wide variety of options to your scouts. So, Brian, if you go to the next slide, this is a really terrific snapshot, in my view, of the science adventures or the STEM adventures available for all the ranks. And this isn't the only list. I mean, this is a list we've highlighted, and we're going to talk about it today, talk about the science stream today. But the opportunity to talk about science shows up in many, many different instances, even in adventures that are not specifically science adventures.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Just following up, you know, can you speak a little bit to this? And, you know, you've already answered, are these the only STEM adventures available for DENS? No, is the answer. Can you give some examples of other ways it comes up?
Yeah, you know, a really popular adventure, we're seeing a lot of units cover them, is Super Science. Take a look at Super Science. You know, if you decide to do that, you give the scout an opportunity to learn about static electricity, learn about how to design an experiment as a scientist, learn a little bit of physical chemistry. You know, it's all in there. Super Science is turning out to be a really, really popular adventure across the country. If you do Champions for Nature, you know, you're out in the open, in the outdoors, a chance of talking about life sciences shows up in all of the things you do in that adventure. You run a Pinewood Derby. You can talk about the physics of the Pinewood Derby. And there are scouters I know that have actually looked into that. You can invite one of them to come and talk about the physics of the Pinewood Derby before you run those cars. So, yeah, lots of options.
Yeah, now you've got me thinking, because I'm like, okay, anytime we're cooking, we're kind of looking at chemistry or, you know, nutrition, we're talking about food science. You're right, it's everywhere.
Indeed.
My science teacher was right back in the day.
Yes, always listen to your science teacher. So what I've done for this half hour is just produce like a snapshot of these science adventures to just give you a taste of what's possible and taste of what needs to be done. The resources are pretty extensive. So you go online, you'll find each of the adventures defined in all the level of detail that you would want, starting from the safety aspects through the equipment you need, all the way through resources that might be helpful. So do look at that. I'm sure you're looking at that as you're doing these adventures. But I'm going to give you sort of a pictorial guide to some of these, right? So my slides tend to be very nerdy with a lot of bullets and words, but my slides this time are just pictures, right? So I want to leave some images in your head that you'll carry away from the talk that will make you think about that particular adventure if you're thinking of doing it for your den or for your pack. So let's get started. Brian, let's go to the first slide. What I really want to emphasize is that whoever designed the science adventures had in mind the opportunity to let the scout be a scientist. So as I look through the six adventures we're going to talk about, in every one of those cases, it's about the scout becoming the scientist for the time that they're in the adventure, which is very, very cool. Right? It, you know, brings to mind lab coats and safety goggles and so on. And if you had them, you know, you would really, really let them behave like scientists. So just take a look at this slide. Every adventure has a scientist in mind. And I hope that when you do the adventure with your cubs, that you actually have them behave as one. So I recently did Earth Rocks with a group of Cub Scouts. And before you knew it, they were behaving as a geologist, right? It doesn't take much to tip them over the edge into behaving like the scientists that you want them to be.
Yeah, the wording is really special, the way that these are written. I honestly, again, never thought of this until you highlighted it. It's a lot more to say be an astronaut and learn to understand the night sky than it is to say think like an astronaut.
Right, you know? Right. Because you want, it's hands-on, right? Even if you're doing it inside, these activities are designed to be hands-on. They're designed to actually get you to do something a scientist in that field would do. You know, perhaps it's, you know, toned down a bit, but that's okay. It's very age appropriate. And it works. So let's move on. Let's go to the next slide, Brian. So I'll start with the one that's the, you know, that's for lions. As you might imagine, very easy to do. We're really trying to get the lion to understand where food comes from. So you're doing something like taking them to a grocery store. And if you ask them, they'll say, that's where food comes from. So you could take them to a grocery store to show them where food comes from. But you could go a step further and take them to a nursery and let them see the plants that, you know, grow vegetables and herbs and so on. And so, you know, hence the photographs of the grocery store and the plant. And one of the other requirements is to bring in somebody who actually does gardening. Let them see somebody who actually does this. I mean, if you're in an area where they can actually meet a farmer, even better, right? Let them go out and see a farm and meet a farmer. And one of the things I would say for this adventure is that it's ideal for the growing season in your area. I'm from just outside Philadelphia. And my wife said to me, you know, make sure that you tell them that this should only be done in May and June because stuff won't grow. And then I was reminded that all of you are spread all over the country. And so your growing season might be different from mine. So pick your growing season because the last bit of this is about planting, having them plant a small garden. Hence the egg carton and a picture of basil. You can help them plant some herbs and they can watch that grow. Maybe bring it back to the den once a little bit of growth has occurred. So you want them to experience what it means to actually create something that we eat. And
before we move on from this one too, can I just ask, because we have actually some New York City Cub Scout packs who are regular viewers, you know, could you put this into the context of maybe living in a super urban environment where you might go to see something like this there?
Oh yeah. So nurseries are a great place for this, right? And particularly if you go to a nursery to pick out the plants that they will plant in their little egg carton, they will know exactly where that comes from. And it gives you an opportunity, or even somebody from the nursery, an opportunity to talk about where these plants come from, the seeds that they grow from, et cetera, right? You can show them seed packets. And you want them to get an appreciation for what it is that is the source and how important that source is, and how even a farmer behaves as a scientist almost every day of his or her life. And so that appreciation is really important for them. But ultimately, seeing something grow is a great thing for a lion to do.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. If you ever hear, you know, farmers or anybody talk, it's almost like they're speaking another language, because it is a science and a science and an art in how it works. Brian had Frank's comment up, which was great. Hello from Pack 268 in Denton, Maryland, I think. I did this adventure with my lions and they loved this. Frank, let us know what you did. Tell us about it. We'd love to read that. I know we're about to move on to another adventure, but still, we would come back and read that comment for sure.
Yes, indeed. So let's go to the next one, which is for tigers. And this is about being an astronomer. So this is, you know, it would be great if you could find an amateur astronomer, and almost certainly somebody in your area is one. But even before you do that, one of the things you do is you take them outside on a clear night and let them look at the sky and help them start to identify and appreciate what they're likely to see if they just step outside and look at the sky. So the planisphere on the top left-hand corner of this sheet is something you can actually buy from the scout shop. The guide, the scavenger hunt page, is something that's available as a resource. And it lets them quickly pick out things like the planets, the various phases of the moon, some of the simpler constellations. And so the idea is to get them to start thinking about the sky and looking at the sky to identify these things. The next thing you would want to do is to let them look. You know, if you could find an amateur astronomer and you're lucky enough for them to bring a telescope to your den meeting, that would be ideal. But if you can't get a telescope, there are other ways to do it. You can use a pair of binoculars, but you want the scout to get an appreciation of how much more detail and how much more complexity there is in these objects that we see with our naked eyes.
You can definitely tell who, you know, in meeting peers and a fellow adults who had this like hobbyist astronomer,
right?
Like this instilled with them at an early age, because it really does stick with the folks, I think, who learned about this as kids, who can look up at the night sky, identify where planets are. And I think you can honestly change the interests of a young person by just giving them this opportunity.
Yeah. And now the number of satellites in the sky is so large, you're almost likely to be able to point out a satellite as it's going by. Right. Mm. So this particular adventure is about getting them to appreciate the sky and then to be able to start to identify some of the constellations. And so you can help them learn about a couple of constellations, identify them, draw them. And the last bit, the aluminum can, would probably surprise you to see this on this page, but that's about making a constellation. So poking holes in the can and then basically projecting light through those holes on the ceiling to show a constellation to others. So it just brings the whole thing home and gives them an opportunity to appreciate this guy, which is something that then they will do naturally from there on out, right? If they have fun doing this adventure.
It's just so accessible because the sky is always going to be a step outdoors for you. Absolutely. James, shout out to Pack 279 in Long Island. Hello, Pack 93. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We're talking about the STEM series, Science Elective Adventures Across Ranks. We're lucky enough to have Nilesh today, who is the commissioner for the Cub Scout Committee. Justin's calling back to our slide before this. He said, our Lions are visiting a research greenhouse this Tuesday and meeting with a scientist to learn about the research they do, who is also a scouter. Yeah, honestly, you've probably been the science mind often as your son was going up through scouts. But what's your experience with, you know, maybe like having other Cub Scout parents who are a good tie-in to being the scientist who can help?
You're very likely to find somebody in your den or your pack who's involved in some aspect of STEM. And, you know, most of them, if not all of them, would be delighted to share something, right? In fact, what I would say is that if you're doing any of these adventures and you can't find the scientist that's relevant to the adventure, it barely matters. Bring in a scientist with any background, because they'll quickly be able to adapt to what's needed here and could really provide a role model to the kids. So Justin's trip to a research greenhouse is a great way to show the science behind growing and caring for and ultimately getting food from these plants that are so critical to our lives.
Frank added that the biggest thing that his scouts loved was when they planted the sunflower in a pot. They also decorated the pot. The sunflowers are growing great. Again, it didn't take a scientist to make like that awesome experience happen for those scouts.
Absolutely.
When we're talking about the night sky and garden, you know, like seeing plants, nurseries, gardening, you'd almost have to fight parents back on who have interest in that. Those two are really accessible. This next one too, though, I think this is such a hit with kids, as my daughter is outside like digging through ice right now because she's obsessed with this concept herself.
Right. So we're talking about the next one, which is digging in the past. This is very much a hands-on and outdoorsy adventure, even though you start with a scavenger hunt, right? So actually there's some really nice resources in the online that lets you build these cards with information on dinosaurs and pictures of dinosaurs, and you can arrange for a scavenger hunt. And, you know, this age is just perfect for dinosaurs, right? Everything to do with dinosaurs. I mean, if these scouts are like my kids, you know, they're already very, very knowledgeable about dinosaurs. And more likely than not, they're likely to teach you about the dinosaurs. So scavenger hunt is a first part of it. Another part is building a fictitious dinosaur, right? So you can actually, I've put a picture of a card you can download from the website, the Cub Scouting website, that gives you parts and let them actually create a dinosaur. You can use modeling clay to do that as well. And then they all associate dinosaurs with digging for bones and digging for fossils. You know, be very careful. They know that paleontologists do that, right? Don't use any other term. You're almost certain to be corrected. So you have the last bit, which is digging for dinosaurs, you know, building eggs in which you can hide either fossils or you can hide toy dinosaurs, burying them and letting them find them, crack them open, and experience what a paleontologist experiences when they are going to look for dinosaurs. So this is a very hands-on, a bit messy, you know, it's a bit messy adventure, so be aware of that. But I think the payoff is really good, and it really fits this age, right? This really fits this age.
What you've said really resonates with me. It resonates with the audience. Brian saying, truth, I went into being a den leader saying I'm pretty much confident that I know more about everything in scouting except dinosaurs and rocks. I assume that he means than as scouts. I have to agree. I just had an experience at a museum where there was a sign that said this is the biggest found dinosaur skull. And I was like, oh, a triceratops. A kid was right behind me, Cub Scout age, to be like, nope, that's a Pentaceratops. Like, it was the wrong dinosaur. Yes,
exactly.
They do know everything about dinosaurs. It's amazing. Right. And then, again, I remember having these experiences where you do the faux paleontology digs. Just very cool.
And I'll end by saying, I don't know about the rest of you, but I love being taught by little kids, right? So I love being corrected by little kids. And scouts this age are completely, completely comfortable with correcting you and telling you what it really is. And what a great way for them to learn, to be able to teach an adult, right? So Yeah, you know, at times I will actually make mistakes on purpose to get them to actually come out and correct me, right? So,
oh, I bet they really like that, and they bet they shout their corrections. Justin has the perfect segue into our, honestly, any of the adventures. He says, we have our state's flagship university in town. I found that the faculty is almost, in almost every department, is happy to partner with us and share their knowledge and excitement with Scouts. Yeah, you just never know what you'll find if you ask.
Yeah, and that's a brilliant, brilliant thought, right? So if you do have access to a, you know, academic institution nearby, you're almost certain to get people who are willing to come out and help, right? Everybody wants to talk. Every scientist wants to talk about science. And to talk about science to kids, it's just cherry on top, right? So it's a lovely experience.
To talking to like the stoic college kids.
Right.
You know, so to come talk to enthusiasts.
Much harder to do to teenagers. Much harder. Yeah. But this age is perfect for that.
Very good.
Okay, so we should move on. Oh, right. This one, the forensics one, is, I think, right now the most popular. Let's see. I did look at some of the stats. It's one of the most popular adventures in the country right now. So I'll just give you some statistics. The science adventures we are talking about, with the exception of Ready, Set, Grow, which is for lions, all of these have been done by about 6,000 to 7,000 Cub Scouts just in a period of about 6-7 months. We are still collecting statistics, but they are super, super popular. So if that gives you some encouragement to try it. So yeah, let's talk about forensics. Forensics, everybody, all of us know what forensics involved, but this one has a lot of hands-on capability. And one of the best parts about this adventure is that you can connect the requirements to make a whole story out of it and an adventure out of it. And I mean adventure in the classical sense of the term, right? So there's an activity about doing fingerprinting. There's an activity about doing footprint identification. And there's an activity about learning how to test materials and see what they're made of. But you can connect all of those together, if you choose to do it, to do a mystery where you are trying to find the person who stole the cookie. And to actually find the culprit, you have to get fingerprints and you have to study boot prints and you have to do some testing. And so requirement one of this adventure, if you do that requirement fully, it covers 2, 3, 5, and 6. And it looks like fun. It looks like one of these murder mystery dinner things that you might go to. Yes, Brian says, I love a cookie. Absolutely. Who doesn't love cookies, right? But anyway, I think this is a very well-designed adventure to take the requirements and connect them into a sequence of things that, you know, lead to a final objective. And the picture on the very right side is about chromatography and teaching kids about chromatography. This is something that's very, very easily done with a set of markers and coffee filters and being able to show how chromatography can be used to identify compounds that are unknown. So I think this one, very age appropriate. You know, it's set up for bears, very age appropriate and very hands-on. And who doesn't love a mystery, right? So I would really recommend connecting it as altogether as a mystery and running that requirement one.
Yes, I love this. And honestly, I'm always trying to figure out who stole the cookie in my house. So, you know, life skill, really. And I, you know, we have a lot to cover, but just as we're going through each of these, it just really hits me how we think, some of us might think science, like, how's that going to be fun? Looking back at these activities, these are my favorite things I did as a kid. And it's making me question all my life choices as to why I didn't pursue science. But anyway, we're about to get into another here, I think.
Yeah, let's move on. We'll probably run out of time if we don't move on. So let's go to the next one, Brian. Thank you. Earth Rocks. So this is about being a geologist. And as I said, at the beginning of this month, I did this with a dozen cubs. And let me tell you, rocks might be boring to some people, but kids love rocks. And we did it at a gem show. which was, you know, I mean, not everybody's going to get an opportunity to do that, but it was a gem show. And they put aside a room for us to bring these kids in to run this particular adventure and then go tour the gem show. And as a result, we had geologists on site. And we were able to bring a geologist in who covered the first requirement of the different types of rocks, but in the level of detail that none of us could have done, right? It can be done just by you. Finding the right rocks is not that hard. The good thing about this particular adventure is you can buy most things online. They're very cheap, actually. So you see some of the rocks in the middle of this page, as well as, you know, some other tools in there. I bought all of this for well under $20, and you can use just that for an entire den or even a couple of dens. And this involves really the kids getting into understanding what rocks are made of, but also getting deeply into testing them and looking at hardness and scratching them and ranking their hardness and so on and so forth. I wasn't sure whether it was too complicated for the kids to do, but they blew me away. They really got into it. And before you know it, they were taking over the activity. The bottom left-hand corner is a geode. You can buy these online and, you know, the kids get to crack them open. How fun, right? Take a hammer and smash away. And then when it opens up, you've got crystals that they can take home, which is one of the things I really recommend. You know, do things where they can take some of the output from the adventure home. And the very right-hand side is about growing crystals, and it's just something that they can see live, at least the kids, the scouts that I had, were very much into it, to watch the crystallization process occur live.
This is also another one that their scouting career is going to build off of, because soon enough they're going to be going on treks in other parts of the country, seeing stalagmites, stalactites, and all different kinds of rocks, and they're going to know what they're looking at.
Right, indeed. And I mean, you don't even have to go to an exotic place, right? Yeah. Any hike, you're going to see rocks. And if they've started to think about rocks, they're likely to be interested in what's around them as they're walking.
Serendipitous Life commented, "Our bears just did forensics. It was probably the most popular meeting." Yeah, that makes sense. Tell us about it. Tell us what you did. We love to hear it. This next adventure is like quintessential scouting.
Right. So the last one, which is Into the Woods, it's all about getting outside. And more than getting outside, it's about actually seeing things as opposed to just looking at them. And the distinction I'm making is that, you know, if scouts go out into a set of woods, they will focus on actually either the hike or, you know, talking to each other and so on. So for this particular adventure is about getting them to see things and look at trees from the point of view of understanding what's growing there. And so the charts, I've got pictures in here, the resources, particularly for this adventure, give you all you need to have, almost all you need to have. And it lets them learn how to assess a small area in terms of what trees are growing there, how many are growing there, in essence, doing some study of the ecosystem that they're in the midst of, and then to start figuring out what the roles of these trees are, and being able to characterize that. And then finally, they get to burn stuff, right? Which is like the ideal thing to end. So the bottom right-hand photograph is of what are known as tree cookies, which I love that name. Tree discs is probably the more accurate name. And they burn these tree cookies to understand how an ecosystem like that reacts to wildfires and understand what kind of trees are affected, in what ways are the trees affected by the wildfires. It also gives you an opportunity to introduce certain apps to them, which is very, very fun. iNaturalist is an app I use all the time. And if you've never heard about it, I would look into it. If you're walking around and you see a flower and you say, I wonder what that is, iNaturalist is one where you can actually take a picture, and their AI is so, so good. It probably will give you an accurate identification right away. But more than that, it's crowdsourced. And so there are people all around the world who are looking at what you submitted and will give you their answers. And so it, this adventure lets you introduce them to iNaturalist and other apps like that so that they can learn how to identify trees. Very, very good to connect to an outdoor activity you're doing. Or you could do this adventure as a standalone activity.
I like this too because it connects the outdoors with technology, you know, using resources like iNaturalist. Right. To me demonstrates, hey, there's a place for all of this, and you might need your phone outside to take a picture of something and submit it and become part of this, you know, right, archive.
Exactly.
Okay, I know we're totally running out of time. What a great show so far. Any tips for Gen leaders as we wrap this up as they prepare to do these adventures?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is anything you're going to do live, a demo you're going to do live, I recommend doing it at home first, right? So you might decide to grow sugar crystals and realize, oh boy, it's going to be overnight before they grow, right? So we grew borax crystals because they are fast. And so I would say, look at that. So prepare yourself so you have fewer surprises. Although sometimes surprises lead to interesting signs. I would also make sure that if you can find a scientist, bring a scientist, right? It doesn't matter whether or not he or she is associated with that particular topic. They will love to talk to the kids. And what a great way to provide a role model. And perhaps it doesn't need saying, but find some women scientists because you're running family packs. And it's a great opportunity for the girls in your pack to see, sure, yeah, I can be one of those. Those two, I think, are the key ones. Make sure you're paying attention to safety, right? Every one of these adventures has safety tips ahead of the adventure. So please pay attention to that. Make sure you have the right PPE. So, for example, we had kids smashing geodes. You know, you don't want to do that without a set of safety glasses, right? So pay attention to that. I think those are, you know, my top three.
Yeah, kids love smashing rocks, so it makes sense to teach them how to do it in the safest way. You've also totally thrown me back to the time my dad bought me a rock tumbler and he thought, oh, we're just going to do this real quick. And we looked at the instructions and it was like a minimum of 2 weeks of rock tumbling before you're going to have rocks. But hey, it was a great memory. I love that surprise in that way because we learned how long it takes to really polish rocks. Okay, I believe we have some resources here to wrap up the show.
Yeah, so I've put some resources here for Gen meetings, etc. that you've probably seen some of those in the past. So if you actually go and get the resources when you download them, you will see these. And then a second slide, Brian, my last slide has Facebook groups that are cool to be part of. I'm learning a lot from going on these Facebook groups and I'll be going on them. So if you want to leave any messages, et cetera, for me to answer, I'll do my best to be responsive. So these are available to you when you get to download the resources.
That's very cool. So your conversation with Nilesh does not have to end right now. Brian, I'm reading all your comments and laughing at them. We see you scatter Mrs. Eden's love you sharing the story. We love all the stories that are being shared about these experiences. Yeah, bears love forensics. Makes perfect sense. Definitely join those Facebook groups. And as a reminder, the resources we just threw up on screen, as well as those Facebook group names, you can download all the resources from today's show at scoutingmagazine.org/CubChatLive. Today's video will stay up after we're live, so you can tag somebody who needs to watch today's video. If you're on Facebook, this video will be here for 30 days. If you are on YouTube, this video will be up forever, so you can send this around, text this video around, send it in an email. And we have a podcast version of the show, as we've reminded you, so be sure to check that out. You can view past Cub Chat Lives, also on scoutingmagazine.org. And we're lucky enough to have Nilesh back in a couple weeks. It's been super cool to host with you.
Thanks so much, Gina. Great to be with you.
Really appreciate your time.
And with all of you online, thanks for coming.
Yeah, let's keep the conversation going, everybody. And we'll see everyone next Friday, same time, same place.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode, same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ rate Cub Chat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/CubChatLive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live. Except it's recorded. But it was live. Okay, see you next week.